We are only 3 days away from 2014. Folks, when I look back on 2013, the Bible is confirmed to be true. Life is like unto a weaver's shuttle, isn't it? It's just hard to believe that all the events of 2013 are almost history. And what I want to do this morning is I want us to stop for a moment and ask ourselves a question. And the question is this: what is the best way to end 2013? There are going to be a lot of individuals come Tuesday night ending this old year and ringing in the new year, aren't they? Many of them are going to be involved in all kinds of festivities. Some individuals are going to be together with friends and with family, ringing in that new year and seeing that old year put behind them. For some individuals, it's going to be just an ordinary day. About 8 o'clock, they go look at their watch. Ma, I'm going to bed. Me too. And they'll just wake up the next day as if nothing happened at all. Folks, there are some individuals who are going to end this year with deep sorrow. And the reason for that is because either their foolishness or the foolishness of someone else who has touched their lives. But again, the question: what is the best way to end 2013? And when I say that, I'm talking from a spiritual standpoint. For you see, you and I need to be cognizant of the fact that we do have a soul. That eternity is always lingering near, and that the return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, could take place at any moment. And with those kind of thoughts in mind, we need to ask ourselves again, what is the best way to end 2013? Let's answer that with several answers. Number one. One of the best ways to end this old year is by being forgiven of all of our sins and transgressions against God. My friends, the Bible pictures sin as a very deadly disease. It is a disease that runs rampant among all mankind, and it inflicts individuals with great harm. The prophet Isaiah says that those individuals who are in sin are like the troubled sea when there is no calm and when the waters cast forth dirt and mire. God says that with the wicked there is no peace, no peace at all. Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. That same prophet declares that sin separates. It drives a wedge between humanity and deity. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Isaiah 59, verse 2. My friends, the best way for us to have calm in the storm of life, and the best way for us to seek reconciliation with God, is through the forgiveness of our transgressions. And the way that has transpired is through Jesus Christ, our precious Lord. One of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible is found in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For He that is God hath made Him, that is Jesus, to be sin for us. Folks, that is me. And that is you. Who knew no sin. Think about that. Jesus, although Himself personally had no sin, was made sin because all of our transgressions were cast upon Him. And the reason for that is in the conclusion of that verse, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Why was Jesus hanging upon the cross of Calvary? Was it because He had transgressed Roman law? No. Even Pilate declared, I find no fault in Him. Was it because He had transgressed God's law? No. Here is a man in whom there is no sin, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. Why then was He suspended upon a cross of Calvary? Folks, He was cursed for us. He was cursed for us. according to Galatians 3, verse 13. Being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Our God looked down from heaven upon the Christ, a sinless individual, and yet what did he see? He saw sin. Why? Because our sins had been placed upon Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. And folks, it is in him that you and I can have peace. It is in him that you and I have righteousness. It is in him that there is cleansing. There is in him that there is healing. Isn't that what Paul said? That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Jesus. They're all in Christ Jesus. So the question that man must ask is this: how? How do I get into Jesus Christ? Know ye not that so many of us, as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death? Romans 6, verse 3. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Galatians 3, verse 27. As you come to the end of this year, if you're not in Jesus Christ, folks, you need to seriously consider that, do you not? You're out in the storms of sin. You are separated from your God, and you need the forgiveness of God in your life. Can you imagine? Come Tuesday night at midnight, and that new year comes upon us, and you can say, I am right with God. There's no better way to end this year. Very closely connected with that is point number two. What is the best way to end 2013? The best way to end this year is to forget everything that has transpired in the past. There's a lot of nasty stuff in the past for many of us, aren't there? There's sin. There's iniquities. Life is full of failure. We look back upon our life and we see times when we have omitted things that God has told us that we need to do. There is sorrow, there is hurt, there is regret, there is neglect. Folks, we need to take a huge pair of scissors and we need to open up those scissors and we need to cut the tail of all of those sins, all of those omissions, all of that sorrow, and let it go and let it be behind us, shouldn't we? God says he can do that. He can forget the past, can't he? I will be merciful unto their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities. I will remember no more. Hebrews 8, verse 12. Folks, we need to be able to do what God does. Sometimes you and I hold on to the dictionary definitions of terms, don't we? God says, I will remember those things no more. In other words, it is as if he totally forgets them. Oh no, it's not that he forgets them, folks. He no longer holds them to our account. You and I might try to bring them up, and God's going to say, what sins? What iniquities? What transgressions? What things are there? I don't see those anymore. Oh, does he know they're there? Absolutely. He knows what we've done. But folks, those things will not be held against us. What a wonderful thought to think that I can come to the end of the year and I can completely forget everything that is in my past. You say, oh, you can't do that. Paul said he did. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Folks, Paul had a lot of baggage in the past, did he not? And he remembered that. Oftentimes he would talk about that. He said, I was the chief of sinners. I was a blasphemer. I was injurious. I was a persecutor. But yet Paul says, guess what else I do? I forget all of that. It's no longer held to my account. And I am not going to dwell on those things any longer. Folks, come to the end of this year and forget all the garbage, forget all the baggage, forget all the iniquity. Put that totally, completely behind you and begin 2014. Number three, what is the best thing you can do to end this old year of 2013? Develop harmonious relationships. One man made this statement: life is made up of relationships. Isn't that true? Folks, everything we do almost involves other people in our lives. We go home to other individuals. We come to worship services with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We work with individuals. We have next door neighbors. We go to the store and there's individuals there. Life is made up of relationships. And yet, relationships can be broken by the least little things, can't they? Jealousy ended the relationship between 11 brothers and Joseph. Genesis 37, verse 11. Sin in the life of Saul, not wanting to do the will of God, ended a beautiful relationship that he had with a prophet by the name of Samuel. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Hasty words spoken by a wife to her husband ended their relationship as far as the physical aspect of it was concerned for the remainder of their lives. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 26 beginning. My friend's false doctrine was plaguing the relationship between the Apostle Paul and the churches of Galatia. According to Galatians chapter 4, verse 11. The hasty action of a very young gospel preacher leaving a missionary journey caused division, did it not, between two seasoned preachers of the gospel by the name of Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41. It doesn't take much to split two individuals and drive a wedge between them, and sometimes that wedge is there forever and ever and ever. How sad. My friends, we ought to do everything we can do to come to the conclusion of this year and develop harmonious relationships, even with those that we have had difficulties with in the past. Some say, how do you do that? Number one, get your pride out of the way. I ain't going to them. I'm going to wait till they come to me. Fine. It's not going to heal anything, is it? Drop your pride. Folks, look at the will of God. God wants us to be together, not separated. That's what He desires. Drop the pride. I'm going to do whatever I can do to bring healing to this relationship. Number two, make contact with the person. A couple of weeks ago, we had a lesson about relationships, did we not? And folks, guess what? Every passage in Scripture that talks about our relationships involve our being the one to act. I know somebody has something against me, I'm not to wait for him. I'm to go to him. I've transgressed against a brother. Guess what? I need to go to him and beg his forgiveness. We're in the driver's seat. Make the contact. Hey, you're close to me. And I love you. We used to be close in the past. And you and I need to heal this relationship. Thirdly, address the issues, folks. Now, when I say address the issues, I'm talking about the issues. So oftentimes, we like to fight about the personalities of individuals, don't we? You're just so stinking stubborn. Address the problem that's really there between the two individuals. That's a hard thing to do. It takes a lot of listening, does it not, to do that? Fourthly, say, I'm sorry. If I'm sorry needs to be said. And be that individual who is willing to look at that other individual and say, hey, I forgive you, once that sorry has been spoken to you. Now, there's a fifth step that needs to be involved, and it's this. Folks, once that relationship has been healed, you need to invest time, and you need to invest energy, and you need to invest whatever you need in that relationship in order to strengthen it once again. So oftentimes, individuals make contacts. They've had problems in the past. They make a quick contact. I'm sorry. Okay, I forgive you. And guess what? They never talk to each other again. Folks, that's not what God wants. When God reconciled us unto himself, guess what? He brought us back into full fellowship with him, did he not? And that's what he desires of us in our relationships one with another. Wouldn't it be wonderful to come to the end of 2013 and have zero people that you are at odds with? What a wonderful feeling that would be. Now, granted, there's some relationships that will never be healed, and it may not be your fault. It may be the other individual's fault. I'll never talk to you. I'll never apologize. I'll never admit wrong. I'll never have anything to do with you again. That's their decision, and as far as I'm concerned, it's their loss. And my friends, they'll give an account for that in the day of judgment. Wonderful day, January 1st. Wake up in a healed relationship with a brother or sister or family member or coworker or friend or whomever it might be. What a wonderful way to end 2013. Point number four. Develop energy for service in 2014. Folks, there's two ways that Christians can come to the end of the year. They can come to the end of the year and they can look back on that year and they can go, oh, I'm tired. I have worked. I have labored. I have done so many things for the kingdom of God. And then look into the new year and you just go, oh, man, all the stuff I got to do. And you're almost just worn to a frazzle before you begin. That's a good place to be. Did you know that? But you see, you may not have quite the energy that you need to move forward. But then there's individuals who come to the end of the year, they look back and they go, wow, I didn't do much. I could have done a lot more for the kingdom of God. But you see, folks, they don't have energy either. They've never exerted much energy, and so they don't have much energy. Or maybe they have put all of their efforts on hold for a while, and now when you try to encourage them, they just don't have the zeal that they need in order to move forward. Folks, now's the time, as you approach the end of the year, to develop the zeal and the energy for 2014. 365 days. It's a long time, folks. I heard a man talking on the radio yesterday. He said there used to be a big sign in his town talking about the countdown for Santa Claus. And he said the week before it was wonderful. 7 days, 6 days, 5 days, 3 days, 1 day. And then Christmas got here and you drove by the sign and it says 365 days till Santa comes again. Folks, that's a way to deflate a poor kid, isn't it? Man. But isn't that what happens to us? We have worked 300 and something days in the kingdom. And it's almost over this year. But guess what? We've got 365 days to come. Listen to what Jesus says. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give himself, his life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. Folks, Jesus came to work. Jesus came to labor. Jesus came to serve. Jesus came to do the dirty work. Jesus came to be a slave on behalf of other individuals. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with me? Listen to Jesus again. Ye call me Lord and Master. Ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. John 13, 13 through 15. Why did Jesus come? To wash feet, folks. That's not talking about literal foot washing, although Jesus did that. He's talking about service. The Son of Man came to serve. He humbled himself and became a servant. He wasn't concerned about his own interests. He wasn't constantly looking out for self. Not while he was here. Folks, he worked on behalf of others. And now he says, now you do like I have done. I've got 365 days ahead of me that I need to be a servant. I need to work and labor and toil in the kingdom of God. And right now, I need to be developing that energy, that want to, that drive, that enthusiasm, that zeal to do what needs to be done for this upcoming year. Folks, if you don't start out right, you won't end right. Paul says, be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Romans 12, verse 11. God wants hard, diligent, enthusiastic workers laboring in his vineyard for 2014. Number five, what's the best way to end 2013? Look for the coming of the Son of God, folks. I'm not saying that Jesus is going to come in the next 3 days. Did I say that? No. Now there's a lot of individuals who believe that there's all these signs coming to pass. Jesus is going to come any minute now, and he could. But the reality is this: there's nobody who knows. The Son doesn't know. The angels of heaven don't know. Man doesn't know. No man knoweth the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Matthew 25, verse 36. So when I say you and I need to be ready for the second coming, what do I mean by that? I mean this. There is promise in the Word of God that Jesus is coming again. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 2, for ye know this, that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The promise is there. Could he come right now? Yes. Could he come at noon today? Yes. Could he come tonight? Yes. Could he come Tuesday night when you're out there partying away? You bet he could. He can come any minute, folks. And you and I need to be ready. Jesus' word is watch. Listen to what he says. Watch ye therefore. For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, at midnight, at cockcrow, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find thee sleeping. This I say unto you, and I say unto you all, watch. Mark chapter 13. 33 through 35. Watch, folks. Be ready. One of these days, the clouds will open. One of these days, the archangel will shout. One of these days, the trump of the Lord will sound. And you better be ready. It's too late then. Here's what so many people do right about now. So many people right about now say, well, it's almost January the 1st. And I'm going to make these resolutions. And I'll do it at midnight, January 1st. Folks, we've got 3 days between now and then, don't we? Just think, you can be forgiven now. You can put the past behind you now. You can work to restore those broken relationships right now. You can make up your mind this morning that I'm going to start right now laboring more diligently in the kingdom. And folks, you better make up your mind right now that I'm going to be ready when the Lord comes again. Folks, I hope you come to the end of this year and do the things you need to do to put an end to it and to gear up for 2014. I'm going to talk about 2014 a little bit in Bible class and what we have planned for our congregation a little bit for next year. Folks, how do you want to come to the end of 2013? Do you need to make some changes? Do you need to obey the gospel of Christ? Do you need to repent of sins, confess them, and ask God to forgive you? Maybe you need to come and ask to do that. Won't you come as we stand and sing?